We appreciate you joining us again for another week of Minutes of Truth. We are on at this same time each Sunday morning. Today, Mark and Paul will begin studying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. We invite you to open up your Bibles and to study along.
Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
Thank you for joining us for this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast, and we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll be beginning around verse 12. As we look here, last time we were talking about how we need to be serious and awake and alert about the Lord's return. And now Paul is going to go on to write to these Christians about their relationships with others and how they treat them. And that is a key point of Christianity. One mark of a Christian is how they treat others. And so we're going to study that today, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. Mark, why don't we start just with verses 12 and 13?
All right, beginning in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another.
Now, Mark, you pointed out something very interesting to me as we came to this section, that we looked back, and not to totally review, but we looked back and we looked at verse 9 about how God has our best interests in mind. He is on our side, and how Jesus came and he sent Jesus, and that was the big thing that he did for us. But God has equipped us. He wants us to be saved. And what do we see in this verse that God has given us that shows that he wants us to be knowledgeable and to be saved and to be able to do those things that are pleasing to him?
Yeah, we looked at the, starting in verse 9, we looked at the idea of what God has done for us. And you mentioned the idea that Jesus was the big thing we always think about. And it is, him shedding the blood is the thing that enabled everything. But I think what Paul does here in chapter 5 is he continues on that thought. Some things that God has done for us to help us to obtain salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins away in baptism. But after that, there are some things that God has put in place that help us to live a life so that we can obtain that salvation. And you look in verse 12, he talks about some of those things, I believe. He talks about those who diligently labor among you, and those who have charge over you in the Lord, and those who give you instruction. Think about the idea of this newborn Christian that they've been washed in the blood of Christ and their sins are forgiven, but yet they're still babes and they need to be taught. They need to be shepherded. And God has put shepherds and teachers and those type of things in place so that they could obtain salvation. Paul, there's a passage in Ephesians that talks about this very idea. What do you have there?
In Ephesians chapter 4, there's some things that were present in New Testament times, like apostles and prophets. But we read also there that God gave us evangelists and pastors and teachers. He gave us preachers of the word, shepherds among the flock of God, people who teach the word of God. He says there that it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What he's saying there is that God has given us these blessings to have those who lead in the Lord's work to make us stronger and better. And it is important for each person to realize the value of God's plan.
Yeah, you look at that, and that's some of the things that God has put in place to help us obtain salvation. We obey the gospel, we're washed in the blood of Christ in baptism, and then we need to grow, and we have teachers that have put in place that will teach us the word, and we have elders and shepherds that will watch over our souls and will warn us and do some things that we're going to look at in just a moment. But at the end of verse 13, he mentions this idea of live in peace with one another. How important is living in peace to being able to obtain salvation, Paul?
Well, it seems to be a very key point here. There's a command, be at peace among yourselves. But Mark, don't you think that having strong leadership helps the flock of God, having good shepherds helps the flock of God to be at peace?
Yeah, you look at that, and good shepherds will look and see where there's troublemakers, where there's false teachers, and where there are things that would disturb the peace, and they would address those in a very proactive way. And that's what God has designed them to do in order for people to obtain salvation, to create that environment where there is peace and where there can be a focus on spiritual growth like God wants us to be. And you look down as we go into verse 14 in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul, and you see some different types of people that need to be, they have certain needs that need to be dealt with. And what are those, Paul?
Well, the verse here says, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. Now, as we see here, Mark, I know you're reading on the New American Standard. We have different words, but with very similar meanings. That when there's someone unruly, they're out of line, they may need a good warning about the kind of things that they're doing. But when someone is faint-hearted, they're discouraged, they need to be comforted and encouraged and built up. If they're weak, they may need support to help them to be stronger. Is that what you're seeing here as we think about the work that God has given leaders to do among God's people?
Yeah, and you see that here. You have to be able to recognize which group needs what and what's best for their soul and what's good for them. Because you wouldn't want to uphold the unruly. You wouldn't want to get this mixed up. But if someone is unruly or undisciplined, they need to be warned about it. Or if they're faint-hearted, they need to be encouraged and helped along the way until they could be... The idea of faint-hearted to me is that maybe they've lost courage or they're discouraged. And they need to be built up so that they're courageous and they're not discouraged anymore. And then there's some who are just weak. They haven't progressed to the point where they're strong or able to stand on their feet. And they need to be held up or helped along the way. And part of the leader's... job that God has put into place is to recognize who needs what and to provide what is good for them. And you'll see that as we go on down through into verse 15.
That's right. And Mark, I was just going to point out at the end of verse 14 that regardless of their situation, to be patient, even if they're unruly and you have to warn them, that warning is with their best interest in mind. And in fact, let me read verse 15, Mark, and I'll get your thoughts on that. It says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all.
Yeah, you look at that, and we were talking earlier in our preparation for this radio broadcast that seems to be one of the general rules that people, Christians, should live by, that you don't repay one another with evil for evil, but you always seek after that which is good for someone. And when you think about Christians, you look out at your fellow Christians, and you want to do what's good for them. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what they want, but according to God and according to the idea of obtaining salvation, you want to do what's best for them, and you have their best interest in mind. And that'll cause you to overlook some slights, maybe, or not get your feelings hurt so bad, or not to pursue your own interests, but you'll look out for one another. And you do that with fellow Christians, but not just with fellow Christians, Paul. Where does it go?
Well, certainly with all. He says both for yourselves and for all. And so I think Mark makes a great point here as we look at this, that you're always looking for the best for others. And it doesn't matter if they're this faithful, wonderful person, or if they do have some flaws that need to be, maybe they're unruly, maybe they're faint-hearted, maybe they're weak, and maybe they require a whole lot of patience. Well, even if that is the case, that you are looking out for their best interest, but as the Christian lives in this world, really that's his attitude toward each one, toward all, and that's how we must be. I really appreciate Mark Schatz being here. He is my friend and brother, fellow shepherd among the Lord's people here at Ellettsville. And my name is Paul Adams, and we are always glad to have you study with us when you can join us on this radio broadcast. Thanks for listening today. We hope you'll join us again next time for a few more Minutes of Truth.
In this second segment today, we'll begin in verse 16. and we'll continue studying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're glad that you have your Bible open and that you're studying along today.
Thank you for joining us today for this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. And today we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin in verse 16. My name is Paul Adams, and the co-host here is Mark Schatz. Mark, last time we left off, and we were talking about how to treat others and how different ones have needs. And today we're going to look at what each of us ought to be having in our life and what some closing admonitions are here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Did you want to read verses 16 through 18 to start with?
In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, beginning in verse 16, Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus."
Let's start out at the end of that statement. When we realize that the things that are mentioned in this sentence, which compile verses 16, 17, and 18, what's mentioned here is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. We'll talk in a moment about the part of in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for us. Mark, what is God's will for us? What does God want for us?
Well, in this chapter 5, Paul's talked a lot about what God's will is or what God wants for us. If you remember a couple episodes back, we looked at chapter 5 and verse 9, where it talks about how, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we mentioned and spent a lot of time talking about that and explaining that in that radio program about how God has done all these things because he wants us to be saved. He wants us to have the ability to listen to him and to do what's right and to be saved through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not a new topic here in this chapter. He's already talked about it a little bit. And then we get down here to verses 16, 17, and 18, and he says, "This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And the verses preceding that, verse 16 that we read just a moment ago, here's what God's will is. Here's what he's directly referring to. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks." And we're going to talk about each of those three things and show how those three things that God wants us to be able to rejoice. He wants us to pray without ceasing to him all the time. He wants us to in everything give thanks. And we find that that's in Christ Jesus. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we develop this. But just notice we're to rejoice always. And notice that we're to pray without ceasing or always. And we're to give thanks in everything. So we'll talk about that. Paul, why do you think he talks about this always, without ceasing, and in everything? How can you always be rejoicing?
Well, that's what we have that's in Christ. That's what God wants for us to totally rely on him so that in every circumstance of life, no matter how good, no matter how bad it is, that we can have joy in our lives. When he says rejoice always, we can have joy in our lives, and we can have these blessings that God has for us because of what God is doing for us, because of the blessings that are there. Now, you had mentioned a passage in the book of Philippians that reminds us to always have this kind of joy.
Yeah, when I read this, that Paul had written, "Rejoice always, and in Christ Jesus," that idea, it reminded me of the passage in Philippians 4, verse 4, where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice." And he says in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing." And he even mentions the prayer and supplication. And he mentions with thanksgiving there in Philippians chapter 4, "Let your requests be made known to God." And in verse 7, he talks about the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. And there's that phrase again, in Christ Jesus. So when I stop and I think about God's will for us, for those who are Christians, in Christ Jesus, I think he wants us to rejoice always. And we can do that in Christ Jesus because no matter if something bad is going on in our life or if something good is going on in our life, we can rejoice in the Lord always. Because we're Christians, because we have the hope, because we're one of God's children, we can always rejoice, even if there's bad things going on in our life here on this earth. And that's God's will for us. And he goes on and he talks about, Paul, pray without ceasing. How do you think that works into this?
Well, I don't think he's saying that we're constantly in a prayer, that we begin praying and that those words are extended. We can't talk to anyone else. We can't do anything else because that prayer just continues. But instead, I think the idea here is don't give up on praying. Jesus taught about that. He taught that men ought to pray always and not lose heart. And he taught us a parable about that, about a widow who went to a man who did not regard God or man, but he helped this widow because of her constant coming to him. God wants to constantly hear from us. He is a loving Father who wants to hear his children's needs. Would you agree, Mark?
I agree. And when you look at 18, when we talk about the third thing, in everything give thanks. And I want to tie all these together at the end and show how that they build upon one another and they're related. But you think about in everything give thanks. It's kind of like rejoicing always. There are times in your lives where your circumstances may not, from the worldly viewpoint, be all that good, and you wouldn't see much to rejoice in. But you can rejoice in those, and you can rejoice always if you're in Christ Jesus. You pray without ceasing. You have that prayerful attitude. You're connected with God, and you talk to Him, and you bring your petitions to Him. That's a building block on this. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. There's some things that may happen to you that maybe you don't see the good in them, or maybe you don't think they're good things and you would be thankful for. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you look at your life and you look at life in a different way, and you see how all things work together for good for those who are God's children. And when I stop and I look here, notice how these are all connected and they build together. You rejoice always, you pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. If you're a Christian, you have this joyful attitude because of the hope set before you. You can pray without ceasing. You can talk to God. And when you're talking to God, you're thinking about spiritual things. You're thinking about the right things. You're thinking about that hope, the things God has done for you. You're thinking about all those spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And in verse 18, you give thanks. That's how, when you tie all of those together, Christians can be joyful in bad circumstances because they're connected with the Father and they're thinking about spiritual things, because they're grateful in everything give thanks. When we start being ungrateful, then it's hard to rejoice. When we start being ungrateful, maybe we don't want to pray and talk to God. But you tie all these together and you see God's recipe or God's method for us to be able to rejoice, to be able to be thankful, and to be able to be what He wants us to be in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely, Mark. And I think about that, and here's this picture of how the world can be in turmoil around us. There can be craziness in every direction. Things can be upset in terrible ways. Our lives can be torn apart by those external circumstances, yet inwardly we can have the joy of Christ. We can, in Christ, go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And in Christ, we can always be thankful for the blessings which God provides for us, which are so much greater than any of the external difficulties and external struggles. I was wondering if maybe our listeners today might think about that. Are you able to have joy? Are you able to be connected to the Father in prayer through Christ? Are you able in all things to give thanks? Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you truly a Christian? We'd like to study with you about that so that you can have joy. You can have someone to talk to, a Heavenly Father who cares and wants to hear from you. And you can, in every circumstance of life, give thanks and never give up on that kind of praying. We'd love to talk with you. Send us an email at truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com. And we'll be happy to start a conversation and we can study together about those things. We appreciate so much that you've joined us today, and we hope that you'll join us again next time for a few more Minutes of Truth.
In this last 10-minute segment, we'll study on through verse 22 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
Welcome to another episode of the Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. We're so glad that you've joined us. Mark Schatz is here, and my name is Paul Adams, and we are very interested in studying the Word of God. We left off last time in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we begin in verse 19 today. But as we looked last time, we saw what God's will is for us in Christ Jesus. And everything that God wants to bless us with, joy and prayer and thanksgiving, all those things are found only in Christ Jesus. And then we're going to look at some things today that can keep God from blessing us. It's only us that can keep God from blessing us. Mark, I believe you brought forth last time, looking back at verse 9, where it says that God does not want us to receive his wrath.
Yeah, in verse 9 of chapter 5, Paul had just mentioned that God has not destined us for wrath, but for the obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be saved, and he's done all these things. He sent his Son into the world. He set up all these things, like we talked about a few episodes back, so that if we humble ourselves and obey him, we can do what he wants us to do, and we can be saved. He wants us to be saved. But we can see that he's not destined us for wrath, but if we ignore God and we try to find salvation some other way or than in Christ Jesus, that we're not going to be able to obtain this salvation that God has prepared for us. And we also looked in the last episode we talked about, verses 16 through 18, about what God's will for us is, that we rejoice always, we pray without ceasing, and in everything we give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we made the point here that all these things that God wants for us is in Christ Jesus. This joy, this thankfulness, this praying without ceasing. And as Paul draws near the end of this letter to the saints at Thessalonica, he's talking about these weighty and important things. And he's going to mention, we're going to look at verses 19 through 22 today. He's going to mention another thing about how God can help us, how God wants us to be saved, and some helpful things that God has provided so that we can be saved.
I'll go ahead and read those verses. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Bible in verses 19 through 22. It says there, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Mark, this idea of quenching the Spirit, that God wants to bless us, but we can do some things that will keep that from happening?
Yeah, you see that God has done many things. He's, especially for the people back at that time, there were things that were special to just them that God has done, thinking of spiritual gifts and things, which we know have passed from when we study the scriptures and see. We don't have those spiritual gifts like they did back then, but God is still working through the Spirit in our lives, through the Word, and we can see that. And that's an active working thing where God does, through the Spirit, what is best for his people, for the Christians in Thessalonica, and for Christians in Ellettsville and Bloomington even. He is doing things. He is working. And we can see that through his word, that he works, and that he does things that are good for us. And there are ways that we can quench or we can extinguish that working. What do you think about some of the ways that we could extinguish that, Paul?
Well, I think that by following after other teachings that are not true, that we can't find the joy. We can't find the ability to go to God in prayer. We can't have the thanksgiving. We can quench that. We can also look for those kind of fulfillment in life in other sources other than Christ, maybe in worldly pleasures or in sin, or maybe in things that are harmless but are not Christ. And so those things can cause us to quench the Spirit. We will not be thirsty for God and for his ways and for his righteousness anymore. And Mark, as we see there, so we're not to quench the Spirit. We're to keep God's Word alive in our lives and working. We're to always be growing. We're to be increasing, getting stronger, and seeing more and more fruit abounding in our lives. And then he says not to despise the prophetic utterances.
Yeah, you see that's tied together as one sentence. Do not quench the Spirit. Verse 20, do not despise prophetic utterances. When you think about what the prophetic utterances were, back to the people at this time, a prophet would speak God's word. A prophet's a mouthpiece of God. And he would speak God's will or God's word to these people. Today, we can look and we can read of the prophets and we can read of the people that revealed the New Testament through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that's God's word. And he says, do not despise prophetic utterances or do not despise God's word that is taught. God's word is the way that He destines us for obtaining salvation. God's word is the way that he builds us up, that he teaches us what we need to do in order to be saved. And we see that up in chapter 5 where he talked about in verse 12 that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. They give instruction in God's word so that we can be built up as Christians and be what God wants us to be, so that we can rejoice no matter what our circumstances. We can pray, we can be thankful, and this just rolls right in together, and it's very beautiful the way God inspired these men to write the scriptures to where they build upon one another. So we need to not despise God's word in our life. But Paul, do you think that means that we should just accept everything that somebody says is God's word?
No. What we see here is that the truth, some people don't like to hear the truth, but some people would rather have something that is false than the truth. We know that sometimes we speak God's word to people and they don't like it because it impacts their life. It puts a responsibility on them. They don't like what it has to say. And so they would rather turn to something else. As we keep reading here, we see not to despise the truth, the prophetic utterances, but we're told here to examine everything carefully. And once we examine that carefully, Mark, we see that there's two options. We hold fast or we abstain. And we're to hold fast to the good, abstain from the evil. But how would we go about examining things carefully?
Yeah, you think about, he's just talked about God's word, that we're not to despise the prophetic utterances or God's word, but we're also not to be gullible either. We're to examine everything carefully. It reminds me of 1 John 4 and verse 1, where those saints were told, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, see whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the word." Into the world. We hear God's word. We need to examine it in the scriptures and make sure that it is God's word. I'm also thinking of Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where he says, "Those were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness." He's talking about people in Berea. He received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. And that's when the apostles were speaking with them and teaching them God's word. So, all through the scriptures, we're taught that we're to be open to God's word, but we're to examine it to make sure it is. And when we examine these prophetic utterances, or we examine things that are presented as God's word, then we do have two options like you talked about here. He says we're to decide what is good based on what is God's word, and then we are to hold fast to that, or we're to cling to that. And we're to abstain from every form of evil that he talks about.
Yeah, that evil in every appearance, in every way that it presents itself, we're to abstain from it. It may come in the form of very smooth words, very slick speech. We're to abstain from it. It may come in the form of something that we like better, that fits our life better than what the truth of God's word does. And so we want to accept that. Reject it. Only hold fast to those things which are true. If you're listening to this radio program live on Sunday morning, you may be going to hear someone speak. I would suggest to you that it's very important that you examine what you hear carefully. Only hold fast to that which meets the test of Scripture. Reject anything that is not according to the Word of God. Study it out. Find out for yourself. There's too much at stake. And I would say that even to those who might be hearing me preach this morning. Only hold fast that which is good. Put it to the test. Find out. Make sure it's the truth, because your soul is at stake. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you'll continue this Bible study with us and join us again next time for a few more minutes of truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.
We hope you'll join us each week at 9 o'clock for this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast, and that you'll visit us at the Ellisville Church of Christ for all of our regular services. Thank you for listening today, and have a great week.